You're tuned to Focus on Campus, a weekly show which highlights faculty, staff, and students here at the University of Texas at El Paso. Good morning, I'm Louis Sines, your host for Focus on Campus, and joining us today is Toon Wooten. Toon is from Holland, and we talked about him last week during Focus on Campus, promoting the fact that he was going to be coming to El Paso and to UTEP to talk about his book, Narco Estado, Drug Violence in Mexico. And last night, he did a presentation at the Rubin Center, and he was kind enough to join us today to talk a little bit about not just last night, but his career in general. Thank you very much for being with us here today.
And, thanks so much.
Welcome.
It's a pleasure being here in El Paso.
Well, tell us a little bit about, first of all, to put it in a nutshell, I guess, to tell people that you put yourself literally in place of danger to get good pictures.
Well, you have to take certain risks. I don't put myself deliberately in danger, but I'm an anthropologist by nature or by education who grew up becoming a war photographer. So I cover armed conflicts all over the world. I write articles about them and I photograph them. And yes, sometimes you are in difficult and dangerous situations. And 22 years of experience in war zones learned me to be very careful. And my last project was the drug violence in Mexico. And yes, it was a very dangerous situation, but I worked extremely cautious.
Now, what got you interested in this? What do you remember growing up in Holland? Was there a particular incident or a particular picture you saw in a magazine or in a newspaper or in a book that prompted you to say, that's what I want to do?
I don't know. When I was a kid, I wanted to become a nature documentary maker, but during my studies, I just loved to travel. I loved to write as a journalist. I loved to make photos. I learned photography by an uncle of mine who was a professional. And I started to travel around, make photos, and more I got interested in the social political conflicts. And one of the first conflicts I was the elections in Nicaragua in 1991 when the Sandinistas lost the elections. And I traveled a little bit about in the country. I met some Contras. And then slowly it became very clear to me, I want to make documentaries, photo reportage and text reportage about social political conflicts. And then when I finished studying, the war in Yugoslavia started, and it was for me very simple. These were kids my age, we were listening to the same generation, and basically I could not stand being home watching how my generation was slaughtered like 1,000 miles away, so I had to go down there to document what was happening. And basically, I think that's a drive of every war photographer. You have some idealistic motives. You think we should expose injustice, human rights violations, slaughtering of civilians, but also very simple. We like our profession. We like a little bit of tension. We like a little bit of sensation. We love to travel. We love to see new things. And, of course, we love a little bit the danger.
So you basically are what some people would call, you know, the type A personality where you drive on that adrenaline and you want to – that's what makes you go.
Because I'm not into bungee jumping and I'm not driven by adrenaline, but it's certain a factor and no one in our profession can deny. But it holds for a lot of professions. If you're a policeman or fireman or soldier, I mean, a lot of people are just not fit for a 9-to-5 jobs, and they want to have some excitement in their life. And
you just react.
Yeah.
Now, when I talk about that, some people might ask you, and I'm not sure if anyone asked you this last night, Toon, but sometimes people wonder, when he was taking that picture, was he able to help anybody? Because some people, and one of the pictures that just comes out and screams at people is that picture of that little girl running down the street naked in Vietnam.
Yeah.
And then the other one where they have the gun
the political prisoner was executed. Yeah. Basically, I just read a story about the Vietnamese girl. Actually, the photographer took the photo, and after that, he took the girl to a hospital. And that's basically the ideal situation. First, you take a photo of something terrible, and then you can help the subjects of your photograph. In the case of the man being executed, he could not prevent it. It was a military person executing a POW, and you just cannot, you can say, don't do that, but it doesn't help. I took one time a photo of a wounded Hutu in Africa. Hutu was one of the tribes responsible for the massacres in Rwanda during the genocide, and he was really wounded. I took a photo of him, but I also took a photo of two photographers taking a photo of him, and it really looks like two vultures descending on the victim. And I got a lot of criticism for that. But then again, we took photos of this wounded man. It took us very little time because we were professional. And then we took this man to the hospital. And so basically we were happy because we had a good photo. And this man was happy because he was taken to the hospital. So sometimes it can work out that way.
Now, one of the things that can happen and be frustrating to people like yourself and myself and Dennis, because we are journalists, the news happens when it happens and you can't recreate it. And sometimes it happens so quickly and you're wondering, oh my gosh, if I had only taken that picture. Hence the next year, 2013, will be the 50th anniversary of the assassination of President Kennedy. There were not, that we know of, professional photographers who took pictures of the assassination. And a couple of the photographers who worked for the Dallas newspapers said, I saw a man pulling a rifle inside the window, and here I am sitting with an empty camera. Have you ever gotten into a situation like that?
You miss a lot of shots. You're just too late. And that's part of the – I used to smoke, and then I was rolling a cigarette, and then something happened, and then I missed that moment. I stopped smoking, luckily, but sometimes you miss shots and you just cannot help it, and it's part of the job, and it can be really frustrating. The good thing is normally your magazine editor doesn't know about it because it's only you that know how stupid you are, because sometimes I have been changing film when I was still working with film, and then suddenly there is like a big attack, and then you just missed that moment, and it's really horrible. But it's part of being a photographer.
No, last night when you spoke to people here on campus, we were discussing the fact that a lot of people here on the border, when they read the news headlines, the fact that some people may become almost callous to it or numb. Did you hear anything of that last night?
No, I think people, but of course the people who come, who came to the reading, they are really interested in the subject. And I can totally understand that people get numbed by this continuing violence. But nevertheless, as a journalist, I think it's my task to cover it and basically to make a book from it. I mean, photos in newspapers tend to be very ephemeral. You publish them once and the next day the newspaper is gone. And I worked 3 years on the drug violence in Mexico, Juarez, but also like Culiacan. And to put it all in a book, it put us all together. So I think it's an important body of work, even as a registration of history of a certain period in the history of Juarez. And I can understand that people, I have a presentation in Juarez, and I'm really very curious what the people in Juarez will think of my book. And but I heard a lot of people are actually coming already. So, but maybe they don't want to see it because it's too much, or maybe they want to see it because it's part of the history of the city. So yeah, you have different reactions.
When you were there, 2009, did you start in 2009?
I was 2009, 2010, 2011. I was there many times. Okay. Yeah.
So when you were working on this book, were there times when you were prevented from doing your work, or did you receive threats or anything
like
that?
I did not receive any threats. And if I would have received threats, I would have taken them very seriously. In the beginning, I worked a lot with the authorities. In 2009, the people at the municipality were very nice. They had the public relations department, and I could go to them. I said, listen, I would like to go on patrol with the police. And they put me on a lot of patrols with the police, with military police, with municipal police, on horses, on bicycles, on foot, on little pickup trucks. So I had great access the first 2 years. And then, of course, came the new major, Tato, and basically they became less responsive to requests from journalists to because basically they want to portray a picture that everything is like hunky-dory in Juarez, and they don't want journalists to go with them on police patrols, so-called, because it's too dangerous. But I work also a lot with journalists, local journalists, very brave people from El Diario. I went along with them, and I made a lot of other friends. So basically, I could do a lot what I want, and I think I had a lot of liberty to photograph what I want, also because I was at every time for a very short period, for like 10 days, 2 weeks. The only thing I did not try was hanging out with really the big shots of organized crime, and basically it's just too dangerous, because one of the things I found most scary in Juarez was like the total impunity, and that basically 98% of crimes and murders were never solved, and basically that you just could be shot dead for any reason and nothing would happen to the killers. So I was very careful not to do crazy stuff, and I did not push it to getting in touch with really the big cartel guys. Like in other war zones, I always try to go to the rebel side too. And then basically you can make a point, you can explain, for listen, I'm a journalist and I want to show your point of view as well, but I think that would not work here in Mexico, in Juarez.
With the book and with the technology that we have now, Toon, is this book available also as an electronic book, Kindle, Nook, or is it just...
It's not yet available as a Kindle, but it can be ordered through Amazon. And I think not Amazon.com, but the English version, Amazon.co.uk.
The UK?
Yeah. So... And it's even on my website, turnvoeten.com. You have instructions how to order it. But I don't. I have to talk with my publisher. Normally, a Kindle version of photo books, it's not usual. But I think a photo book should be the way the paper is printed, the cover, and it's something physical.
So is it a book, a big book, like a table book, a coffee table book?
It's a coffee table book, but it's not a... I don't have a copy here, but it's not for your average coffee table, let me put it that way.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because it's something that's very serious, very dramatic. Yeah. And I was wondering, because the seriousness of the topic, and I know that as a journalist, you're probably very critical of your work, as most journalists are. Was it difficult for your editor, your publisher, to pick the pictures and choose the pictures?
Well, I picked the pictures myself. I had a designer, a great designer, Jan Kleingeld. I worked with him already years. So basically, we made a selection. And then we presented it this way to the publisher. No. And basically, the publisher knew it was a difficult subject, but I was able to... convinced the publisher in Belgium from, listen, this is a very important story and people in Europe are interested, but also we have like a huge market of people in the US and Mexico are interested in the subject.
Are you going to be doing any other presentations at any other bookstores here in the El Paso Southwest area, or are you leaving? I know you've been in Las Cruces and you've been at the museum and then the Rubin Center also.
Yeah, I had a small presentation in the Purple pop-up gallery, a new place on Mill Street. That was a very nice presentation. But basically, I keep on researching the drug violence, so I will be back in El Paso in the future, and probably I will have more presentations, and I'm also discussing the possibility of having like a big photo exhibition. So basically, I hope to be back in El Paso to present more of my work.
Okay, we'd like to thank you very much for being with us here today. We've been visiting with Toon Vooten, and he is the author and also a photographer of Narco Estado, Drug Violence in Mexico. And it's a photo study type book. And he did give a presentation at the Rubin Center last night. And if you're interested in looking and finding out more about the book, you can go to the Amazon.com, but the UK website, and you can find out more about that. Again, the name of the book is Narco Estado, Drug Violence in Mexico. Toon, thank you very much for being with us here today.
Thanks so much.
Focus on Campus is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer and producer, Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Luis Sainz.